Welcome, venturers, to another fresh, delicious episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. We've got some big, big news before we kick off. So here it goes. Venture Maidens will be performing at the D&D Live 2019 event in LA mid-May. That's right, we'll be there with a bunch of other incredible D&D podcasters helping to premiere the new storyline for Wizards of the Coast. We are just, blown away by the opportunity. And it's through the support of our Patreon donors and each one of you darling listeners that has gotten us here. So thank you. And speaking of Patreon donors, now is an excellent time to hop on board. We're starting to put together our spring packages, and this one is full of amazing goodies that you won't want to miss. But enough from that. Let's do the thank yous. Thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song. Thank you to Don't Split the Podcast Network for the support. And thank you to Kobold Press for being this week's sponsor. I'm going to say it again because you have to check out the latest Deep Magic series from Kobold Press. Go right now to koboldpress.com and pick up this series that is full of new magic options to bring to your 5th edition D&D games. The Deep Magic series has 20 PDFs full of battle magic, time magic, magic schools, warlock patrons, feats, magic items, and more. So don't wait. Seriously, don't. Go get a copy of some deep magic options right now at koboldpress.com. Now, here's a quick recap, then we'll dive right in. Last time on Venture Maidens, our heroes sans Arnadel headed to Caer Leona to assist the Duchess Amalthea with her mysterious request. When they got there, they met Farah, a tiefling sorcerer who definitely has the hots for Carl. Amalthea told them that she needs the maidens to bring down an insane angel that has lost itself somewhere in the sealed catacombs beneath the castle. They all headed down into the depths and found themselves in some crazy lobby thing with a ghost and an appointment book. They bypassed that only to find themselves in a hallway full of cells with creepy things inside. And that's all. Now here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens find themselves wandering in the dark vaults beneath the ancient castle. What was this evil place before Amalthea claimed it? Who is behind these twisted trials? Has one of our heroes been claimed by madness? Find out in episode 57 on Hysteria.
Welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. I am so excited to have a bunch of you here. I personally want to call out Switz. Thank you so much for being here.
We love you, Switz. You're the best.
We love you, Switz. Welcome back. Oh my gosh, I am really excited. And though, as you can see here, we have only two maidens with us tonight. Nassim is not able to join us. It is the Iranian New Year, so she is celebrating with her family right now. So it's only these two going through my super spooky dungeon.
Save yourself, Nassim.
Yep. Sorry, Nassim. I told her already. I was like, well, that means I'm controlling Saye, so we'll see what happens to that.
Your monk can climb up walls?
Ooh, not today.
Interesting.
She forgot how to walk.
This will totally be fine with just them. It'll be fine. But anyway, I guess let's go ahead and get this started. Hi, everybody. My name is Celeste Gonowich, and I will be your dungeon master.
Well, this is really weird going first. I'm Sage, and I'm playing your barbarian, who will hopefully stay sane.
And I'm Katie, and I'm playing Farah Valen, the tiefling sorcerer, who is gonna try to meet these people and try to stay alive 5 minutes later, so.
It's the best way to meet people, bonding through just horrible situations, so I really want to just emphasize that. You know, let's forge this bond. But anyway, so you had seen this figure was inside of this cell there. And so I guess, let's go ahead and pick up right there. So at the end of last time, you had made it down that set of steps to the lower level of whatever this place is, and you had seen cells lining the hallway on either side of you, and Kara had peeked into one of them, and instantly this flash of green, like these green eyes had been peering back at you, and you could see the shadowed outline of someone standing in this cell. And before you could respond or blink even, this form had come at you with just lightning speed appearing in your face and opened its mouth to speak to you. And from each of the other cells, this voice in unison had said to you, "We are angry. We are the lost. Get out." And that had just happened as they had all said this to you in unison. So currently the three of you are standing in this hallway now, coated with this blood writing over and over again, and staring into these eyes that are certainly not human.
Well,
I'm not ready for this. All right, let's go.
Turn around. No, okay. What was ahead of us again? I remember there was, like, the writing and there was the rooms, but...
So basically you had come down this staircase here into this long hallway, and then on either side of this hallway are the cell doors, but the hallway does continue on to open up into a much larger room beyond.
Should we just try and book it into the next
room? Yeah, I don't want to stay. You seem a little shook.
Yeah, the creatures now on the other side of these cells have gone completely silent. But Kara, if you try to look back at the thing staring back at you, again, it's like the shadows just move over its form and its face, so you can never get a definite read on what it is that is staring back at you.
Yeah, Kara goes, like, pun intended, ghost white, as she slowly turns to look at Farrah, and she's like, "I believe we should be moving onward."
Oh, wow, I'm not gonna argue with you. Let's go. just like shuffle forward.
Yeah, and as you continue moving down the hallway, you feel six sets of eyes just burning hatred into you as you pass.
Oh, me. Boy.
So as you walk forward, this room here, suddenly, like, you are in this very claustrophobic hallway, opens up into a much, much larger space, far bigger than you would expect to see in an underground place. And it's this perfectly square room that's maybe about 120 by 120 feet here. And it looks like everything here is smooth stone, almost like concrete, making up this whole just big open space. And again, you can see, like, toppled furniture here. So, like, maybe bookshelves, tables used to dotter this room, but now it's all just an absolute mess. You can see at some point, like, vines have started to grow down into this space. Roots are hanging from the ceiling there. And then you see on the very, very far side of this room, there are two doorways. But both of you go ahead and give me perception checks.
Sweet.
20.
22.
Okay, wow. All right, so both of you, as you're looking around this room and kind of at the rubble in each of these corners, every once in a while you catch a flash of light, like a small glowing, sometimes purple, sometimes blue, sometimes green, just at the very edges of the room under all this trash.
Can I roll an arcana check to see if I know what this would be at all?
Sure.
That's gonna be a 15.
Okay, magical sources of light. I mean, it could be anything from maybe, like, a fungi of some kind, or maybe some kind of creature that would be exuding this light. It sort of looks like fairy fire, but it's also, like, just scattered about, very irregular. So there are a lot of different things this could potentially be.
So there's all these trash heaps around the room.
And every once in a while you see, like, scattered on the ground what looks like it's like a backgammon set, like, on the ground, or, like, you see, like, a iron chair, like, in one corner of the room.
And you said there was a door to the left and to the right?
Mm-hmm. On the very far side of this room.
Okay.
I cast Mage Hand and I'm like, "Do you have a door preference? Or should I just..."
I always say look to the left.
All right. I'll try to open it with my mage hand.
Are you doing it from the 120 feet on the other side of the room, or are you stepping further into this room?
I step forward. We're looking around a little bit.
I definitely stay very close to her and have my shield and sword drawn and, like, ready to lunge at any moment.
And at this point, Saye is following after you all, but she seems to be just slowing down in her steps and kind of looking just around the room, like maybe she's trying to hear something, but she's following around after you. And as you get closer into the center of the room, you begin to hear something as well. It's just like this whispering sound. But if you focus on it too long, it goes away. But it's just like it's crawling, like at the very back of your consciousness. Just this cacophonous whispering series of words that you can't understand or ever get the whole story from. And this happens as you step right into the center of the room.
Am I the only one?
It feels like there's something right on the edge of my brain, like a thought that I've just lost, and it's, but, you know, but dark.
Yeah. Saye, you too?
She nods and is listening again. And then it's at this moment that suddenly from the corners of the room, all of these bright flashes of light start to occur again. So it's like what you saw before, except it's like strobing this blue and green and purple really, really furiously. And I need you all to roll initiative.
Oh, all right. Nice. 17.
10.
Okay, let me go ahead and pull up a D&D Beyond spell. Oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. Thanks, Switz, for the subscribe.
Yay!
Okay, I need you both to make wisdom saving throws for me, as all of a sudden this just, like, flashing, strobing light is just filling the air, and it's very, like, strange and odd, and your eyes aren't accustomed to the light.
Oof. I got a 13.
Okay.
I got a natural 1.
Oh!
All right. Wow. All right. So that 13 is going to...
Pure joy.
This never happens! Oh my god, I was... wow, what can I do to you?
Oh my god, you're dead! I did it!
Wait, hold on, let me read what I can do.
Kara, why don't you go ahead and roll me a d10?
6.
I'm sorry, what was that?
6.
Okay, all right. So as all of these bright flashing lights occurs, it's very confusing as this is happening. And you begin to see bursting out of these corners these swarms of little gray bodies that are just coming now from under the furniture, everything, as these two swarms of you, they look like rats. But then as you look closer at them, you see that their heads are open and you can see like these little... their brains that are flashing, these strobing these different colors as they're beginning to swarm up on you from either side.
I know what these are.
Yes, so Kara, you've been hit by the confusion spell. So, at the start of each of your turn, the creature doesn't move or take actions this turn because you are confused. And you can go ahead and at the end of your turn, re-attempt that wisdom saving throw. So,
cool.
Kara has been thoroughly confused by these things.
You just see a long thing of drool just slowly spill out of her mouth, just like, what?
All right, so as these two swarms of cranium rats begin to move in on you in the center of the room, and now they are just completely dotting the floor. They're everywhere. It looks like the floor itself is moving. Kara, go ahead and make me that wisdom saving throw right now, since you would be starting it off.
Oh, that's only an 11.
Nope. So Kara continues just drool pouring down her face. And then Farrah.
Real sexy.
Why don't you go ahead and give me a perception check, Farrah, in the middle of all of this?
That is a 16.
Okay. You notice, like, as all of this is happening and you take in Kara, or Carl at this moment, you see Saye just steps backwards and begins to run. like, full force towards one of the walls of this room. And you see the rats, they begin to clear a path for her as she runs, like, at her monk speed. So she's moving, like, 80 feet per round at this point.
Paris is like, shit, girl, where are you going? Get back here.
And Saye does not respond as this is happening. But now it's your turn.
Oh.
What would you like to do?
Did she just become queen of the rats?
I think that's what just happened.
I'm so confused. Is she now Willard, like that puppet show?
Oh my god, I haven't thought about that movie in so long. That was such a weird movie.
Oh my god, the guy who played him was so good.
Anyway.
Okay. So, well, seeing that, I guess I'm going to cast Burning Hands on a group of them.
Alright, you can try. So I have to make
Dex save 17.
No. Hell no.
14 points of damage.
Ooh, ow, okay. And are you hitting the left swarm or the right swarm?
We'll go right.
So yeah, you send off flame. What does it look like when Farrah casts Burning Hands?
So every time that Farrah uses her magic, her gold eyes like light up and like totally consume her pupils, and it's very like golden and sparky, so instead of just like your standard flame, it just kind of looks like sparklers, and it blasts off in a cone of about 15 feet, one would say,
approximately,
if I were to guess, at these gross rat things.
Oh hell yeah. And you hear their scream like as they are like bursting from this heat there, and you see some of their brains like start exploding since they're all exposed, and so some of the light show manages to drop on this side here. Alright, but then it is the rat's turn, and they are going to go ahead and retaliate, so one swarm will go ahead and attack Carl. Oh, ow! 21.
That does do it!
So as this is happening, you can do nothing because you're so confused just standing there. These rats begin to swarm up your legs and up your torso until you are covered in the writhing mass of these things. And you just begin to feel those sharp little pincing bites as they crawl all over you. Take 14 points of piercing damage.
Ooh, fuck. All right.
This swarm is all up in your business. And then one is coming for you, Farrah. Cool. Natural one. They cannot get over the fact that you just burnt like half of them. So now these rats are skittering away from you and just like on the ground. Some of them are still screaming. All right. And then Kyra, we're back up to you. Go ahead. Give me another saving throw.
Come on. Heart of the cards. Oh, all right. That's a 15.
Okay. You are no longer confused. So that is your turn to make that roll, but you managed to gain control of your faculties once again.
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then Farrah.
Okay, I'm going to firebolt at them.
There. Fire seems to be working great.
Good to know.
Pro fire.
All right, that's a 25.
Yes.
Oh, it's 2d10.
Are you still attacking the swarm? You already
damaged.
Yeah,
they're all over her. I'm not going to firebolt her.
Yep.
It's fine, I can take it.
That's actually 17 points.
All right, 17 points. Oh my gosh, okay. You just churning through these rats because they all kind of pile over each other and like they're swarming, they're moving as one unit. When you blast it with fireball, it just takes a bunch of them go in flying. off of this main pile of them that they've created. Alright, but then the rats are back up, and so Farrah, they're half-heartedly, like, the few remaining rats are gonna come and try and chomp at your ankle.
Okay.
Alright, will an 18 hit you?
It will hit me.
Alright, then you're only gonna take 6 piercing damage, but these little ones are vicious, the ones that have survived your fire thus far. And they are chomping at you, and then the ones that are covering Carl right now are gonna go in and try to get some more toasty bites, but they only get a 12. So now you're managing to, like, shake them off, keep them from your little tender bits. and it is your turn.
Yeah, just grabbing some that are, like, going into the armpit of her armor. It's just like, no!
No!
Get off! So, oh god, they're like swarming all like over me.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm real angry about this. This is not a good day. This is not how I imagined this day going. So, bonus action rage.
Fair.
And then she would like to, because it doesn't seem too smart to swing a sword at myself, she's gonna use her shield that's in her left hand and try and, like, slam them off of her.
Sure. Yeah, scoop. I make a scoop attack.
Roll to scoop.
Opposing scoop roll.
Yes.
Not bad. That's gonna be an 18.
Yes. You can get a nice bucket full, shield full of these rats.
Should I call it, like...
You have the shield master feat, right?
Yeah, a d6.
Yeah, d6. Plus your strength.
All right, that's going to be 6 damage.
Okay, yep. So you managed to get a ton of these things. You just scoop them off of you and, like, send them flying. And I'm going to say they smack into the wall as this is happening, dealing a bunch of bludgeoning damage. Nice. So all these little rat corpses are flying through the air.
Excellent. I'm going to scoop again!
Bail it out!
Ha ha! That'll be a 15.
Indeed, that will scoop.
Yes! For 7 scooping muffin damage. Man,
the Muffin Man. Shout out to Buckets. Bucket!
Our patrons for our winter game, they got to meet Bucket's twin brother, Pails. Yes.
That's fucking phenomenal. I'm sorry, I missed that damage. I was distracted by buckets.
7 scooping damage.
7 scoops. All right. Hell yeah. All right, and then Farrah, we're up to you.
Great. All right. I'm gonna firebolt. Yes. That's a natural 20.
Oh, yeah!
Well.
Okay. 319 points.
Okay. Ooh. All right. How do you want to take care of this swarm? how you end it?
Farrah just kind of, just like with a flick of her finger, sends off another flame their way. And as it hits them, their little brains just go.
Yeah, they boil and just explode. It's all over for these rats. So you have taken down one of the swarms, but there are still a bunch of rats, like, surrounding Carl right now. So they're gonna go ahead and try to get one more chompies. Oh, 23. Now this dice is good. So, Carl, they are going to crawl up on you and bite for 6 more piercing damage.
Got it.
Yes! Alright, and then that's them. So, Kara.
Alright. Ooh. Actually, that's only 3 because I'm raging.
Fine.
Ha ha! All right, let's scoop away!
Can't feel my rat bites.
Oh boy, that is a natural 20.
Scoop? What is a natural 20 scoop? Tell me. Tell me now.
Oh my, a natural 20 for scooping. So she actually takes her shield with both hands and, like, scrapes off a bunch off and then hucks them down to the ground and then jumps on top of the shield and cracks their tiny rat bodies underneath her standing on her shield.
Oh, God.
And you just hear this blood-curdling crunch as she just stomps. For 12 damage.
Somebody call PETA. Okay. Wow, that's horrifying. Yep, okay.
And then she's gonna do it again. Woo! Alright, I'm loving that. That's a 26. Fuck yeah. For an additional 7 scoops.
How do you want to end them?
Oh man, yeah, she stomps down again and you just hear these more, like, crunches and she's like, did anyone order some Ben and Jerry's? Because I've got hella scoops. And then picks up her shield and then just, like, wipes all the, like, viscera off onto, like, some trash piles. Just...
Yep. So the room goes eerily silent. Like, in this flurry of activity and movement that happened here, now all of these, like, rat corpses surround you. And Farrah, you manage to, like, look back towards where Saye is, and you see her as she steps through a wall. Like, it just seems to open up of its own accord, like this gaping hole appears in the wall. And she's got one leg, like, forward, and she looks back at all of you, and you can see her expression is just completely glassy-eyed. And this long, shadow stretches out on the floor, and it looks like these flickering tendrils of shadow surround her for a moment.
Nope.
And then she disappears. And nope. I need both nope. of you to nope. roll a sanity check.
Ooh, I would like to make the case that since I'm still raging, that I have advantage because I can't be charmed or frightened.
You know what? I dig it.
I got
accurate.
I got a 13.
Ooh, nice. That'll be an unnatural 20.
Oh, nice. By the way,
So, Kara, you are fine, but Farah, you are going to take a point of sanity damage. Great. What goes through Farah's mind that just destroys it just a little bit?
Farah is a very social person, and she, I guess, seeing one of the people who she's like, all right, it's going to be sweet, we're going to go on an adventure, just disappear. Kind of like it feels like it's slowly going to count down to maybe that could be me. And she just like feels like a creeping, like imminent loneliness, I guess, and fright.
Yeah. And as that happens again, just at the back of your mind, those whispers, you can hear them just a little bit louder. And with that, the wall closes and Saye is gone.
That was peculiar.
Farah turns towards you and her eye twitches once and she just kind of shakes it off and she's like, I don't know what happened to your friend, but to keep it light, I've never seen anyone fight like you before. That was that was something really special to see. I've never seen a shield used so proficiently.
Carl just like openly chuckles and just like, I am known for my meditrix.
You are certainly full of surprises. And she just pats him on the shoulder and she kind of like looks to move towards the area where she disappeared, like she wants to kind of check it, but she's like, you know, you're like super buff. Why don't you, you know, you check that?
I would be happy to. And yeah, I want to go over to where we saw Saye like disappear from and take a peek around.
Yeah, give me an investigation check.
Oh boy, I'm real good at those. Or that's probably like a 6. Yeah.
A 6? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wall is just, it's a flat stone wall. There's no indication of, like, a secret door or anything that strikes your attention at all. It's just total mystery.
I think it was magic.
I think you're right.
I can't see anything else, though.
Okay, well, I guess she'll go over there now that Carl's over there and kind of check it out herself and see if she can see anything.
Investigate.
Oh, nope. That's a 10.
Both of you are just like, what? But even with a 10, Farah, you managed to catch what was missed. Just at the very, very base of this wall, there's like a slimy film. So it's wet, viscous, clear. Just a small pool of it.
She points it out to Carl.
I poke it with my sword.
It gets on your sword.
That's disgusting.
It kind of looks like snot.
Farah goes, smell it.
Wow. Make a sanity check. No.
Oh my god. Yeah, Carl kind of like looks up and kind of makes like, oh, okay. If you think that'll help.
Okay.
Sniffs.
It smells like salt water.
Interesting. I wanna, yeah, now that she's pointed out like where this like film is, I definitely wanna like I don't want to touch the door with my hands. Can you use your magic hand to poke around on the door? Because I feel this might be you. I have encountered mimics, and maybe this kind of is a, in, you know.
This, yeah, so this space you're looking at here, there isn't a door here. It's just a flat wall.
Mm-hmm.
So the only two doors were on the far other side of the room.
Right.
Do you want me to manhandle the wall or the door?
Yes.
Okay. I'll touch it all over with my mage hand and see if anything gives.
So, and you, yeah, you're touching around. There is no seam on this wall. There is no trap door. You have no idea how this happened.
Interesting. Well, to the door then?
Yeah, let's do that. But first, and she's gonna touch you and cast guidance on you. Just in case.
Just in case.
All right, to the left door.
All right.
All right, to the left. All right, let me pull up a thing. Don't worry about it.
I'm a little worried about it.
No, I said you don't have to.
I'm not worried. I'm never worried.
Meanwhile, as they're walking, Farrah's just thinking to herself, I can't believe he actually smelled it.
You can get boys to do anything.
So true.
So as you go ahead and you come to this door, who's opening it?
Mage hand.
Me.
Oh.
Or mage hand.
Or mage hand. We all have to get used to that. People with utility magic. You've made it this far in my spooktacular spook dungeon of spooks. Congratulations. If you're one of those people who skips through the pre-roll, well, I gotcha, because guess what? The Venture Maidens are going to be representing podcasters at the D&D Live 2019 event in LA this year. We are going to be there helping to launch the new Wizards of the Coast storyline on Saturday, May 18th from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. We will be live streaming our portion of the story, and it would be amazing to have Venture Maidens folks watching and supporting en masse. We gotta let Wizards of the Coast know that we belong in the heart of the cards. Or dice. You get it. So that's exciting. It's also going to be expensive, though. So all of you Patreon donors are literally saving our lives right now. And we're so stoked to be sending out those spring quarter Patreon packages real soon. I am personally very, very hyped for the $10 artifact item this time. And I am gearing to launch our first Venture Maidens module real, real, real soon. Like, maybe the end of the month soon. So you'll be able to buy our Madame Fortuna adventure on the DM's Guild. If you can't make a Patreon donation work, there are so many other ways to support the show that we would be remiss not to remind you about. The biggest and baddest, of course, being, please write us a rating and review. We're getting close to 550 on iTunes, and once we hit that mark, we will be running another of our special venture giveaways. So please help us out with some stars and spreading the word. Before I let you get back to the action, I also want to tell you about another of our episode sponsors, Genuine Fantasy Press, and their new book, The Compendium of Forgotten Secrets, Awakening, which is a 5th edition D&D supplement that contains 34 new subclasses, 17 new warlock patrons and familiars, over 175 new spells and invocations, 10 new races, and dozens of campaign hooks. The Compendium of Forgotten Secrets boasts 190 pages of new content compatible with both classic and homebrew settings. It's chock full of beautiful art and available internationally in hardcover via Amazon. You can't afford to miss all the new dark power contained in this book, so head over to genfantasypress.com to learn more about The Compendium of Forgotten Secrets, Awakening. All right, well that's all, folks. So let's dive right back into the action. Thank you. All right, so as you open up this door, it is unlocked and it swings open, and you see a dark, mid-sized room inside here. You see that there are long counters, like on the center of this room, and then also around the outside edges. There are cabinets, there are bookshelves. This is the first room you've come into that has furniture that hasn't been, like, just completely destroyed. You also, or I guess you haven't stepped into the room yet. So that's kind of what you see. You do also see, sorry, the soft blue glow of something that's sitting on top of one of the tables in the center of the room.
All right. Well, bold stride, forth, shield raised, sword in hand, and I go to check out the blue light because shiny.
Yep. As you step into the room, something crunches under your feet, and you notice that there are shards of glass just covering the floor. And as you move forward into this room, so looking around, this looks like some kind of place where science happens. There are, like, mechanical instruments that you don't really recognize on top of all of these tables. There are books, scrolls, all of this paraphernalia laid out. And as you get closer towards this blue thing in the center of the room, you see that sitting right next to it, there is a chair. It's sort of like a chair that you can recline in here, but it also has metal straps that would go over, like, the wrists and the neck part of if somebody were to be sitting in this chair.
Mm.
Yep. And as you get closer to this blue light, you see that it's a small, perfectly round stone that's sitting in this little dish just on the center table. And you see lying next to it, there are pieces of parchment and a quill that's sitting pristinely as if somebody were to just sit down and start writing here at any moment.
Fair, come over here. There's a rather strange object on this table.
Okay. I'll go over there. Before I fuck with this totally not ominous looking object, is there anything, like, written on the parchment or, like, any scrolls on the table that I would give any indication?
So it looks like a clean sheet of paper, as if maybe somebody were about to sit down and write notes.
Okay, then can I roll Arcana on the blue shiny?
Sure.
That's gonna be 19.
Okay, yeah, so you recognize this immediately. Well, it looks an awful lot like a sending stone, but maybe just a little bit different, but that's exactly what it reminds you of anyway. And so for sending stones, for those of you who don't know, they are stones that you can use to send messages to whoever else has an identical stone.
Rocky talkies.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It looks like a shiny sending stone. I mean, we could try to talk into it and see if we get anything back, but so far, the things I've heard here I haven't liked, so I mean, that's entirely...
That is valid. No, I. In fact, the only thing that I've liked down here is you.
Oh, do go on.
Oh, God. Fell in love in a hopeless place.
Oh, my God.
Oh, our shared trauma will bring us together.
Indeed.
Oh my God. All right. I lean in to get, like, my mouth really close to the rock, and I hello, is anyone there? Can you hear me?
All right. And as you lean in, and the glow intensifies as you get closer to it, and you say that, and the stone begins to speak back to you.
And Carl jumps back, just like a cat that's been surprised. He's like,
and it becomes very clear to you after a few lines of this that you are listening to something that has been recorded instead of a conversation on the other side. So you hear two people talking, and the first person says, "Now, Charles, please tell me one more time why you're here." Dr. Scarborough, please, I'm not supposed to be here. I need to get out of here. Charles, your mother seems to think you need to be here. That thing is not my mother. I tried to tell you there's a monster in her head and she's... Oh my God. Oh my God, this is insane. Now, Charles, everything is going to be all right. The best way to master our fears is to confront them. And you begin to hear the sounds of something glass clanging. Oh, God. Oh, God, what is that? Please, no, God! And he begins screaming. And then the line goes dead. And then you both begin to hear a clattering sound coming from the far edges of the room. Go ahead and roll me sanity checks.
Happily.
Oh, my God. 22.
That'll be a 14.
Kara, that is a fail. Tell me what part of this is the part that was the most horrifying.
Oh, as soon as she hears you need to face your fears, it just, like, hits this, like, deep place in her where it just flashes her mind back to when, like, on the first night out on her, like, on her first, like, Dwarf Scouts camping trip as a kid, where, they get jumped by spiders and someone says, no, we need to face our fears, as just they get overtaken by these drow and all these spiders, and she just flashes back to that moment into that terror and just completely seizes up and just...
And as this happens, again, it's that skittering sound of, like, nails on tile as this is happening, and you see that two creatures jump out of the darkness. They appear to be brains with legs on them that are now just squared off on either side of the room that just scuttled out of the darkness here. So let's go ahead and roll some initiative.
It's a brain theme. All right. 18.
Okay. Let me roll. This is fun, you guys. This is super fun.
This is super fun. I'm so into it. I love being horrified.
You're doing great, Celeste. Out of character, I'm, like, shaking. I hate scary things.
I'm shaking in my space boots.
All right. So, Farrah, you have the first move as you see Carl just kind of seizes up, like, staring at this stone. And then these two creatures are lunging at you from opposing sides of the room. What are you going to do?
Okay. I am going to... I'll do cast Shatter on them.
Sure. Do I make
a... Oh, scene? Yes. You're going to make a Constitution DC 17.
All right, both of them super fail.
All right, they will take 15 points of thunder damage.
Woo!
Thunder!
Thank you. 15? Shit. Mm-hmm. Again, what does a shatter look like? Is it also sparkly bits?
It's less dramatic. It actually, like, starts from the center, and it, like, it's almost like you can see the air around them kind of quiver, and then it's just a very faint, golden energy just kind of, like, explodes from the center of the area.
Yeah, and as you do, you see that, because they're just brains, so you see, like, that jiggling, like, quality to them as you, like, blow chunks out of their little bodies, shattering this apart. Blow chunks. Welcome to the Venture Maidens.
Yeah.
And then, Kara, it is up to you.
All right, so I am going to go after the one on the left.
All right.
And I'm going to use my bonus action to rage, and now I'm going to try and hack at it. Ooh, that is a 23.
Yes.
All right, and that will be... 7 plus 6 is 13. 13 slashing and 3 cold.
How do you want to destroy it?
Oh, shit. So, after...
They're just squishy brains.
That's true. Fair. So, after seeing Farrah let loose the shatter spell, it just, like, wakes her up and then immediately, you know, sees the impending doom and just, like, snaps to, like, and just whoosh, right over the top.
Yep. And it just dies immediately as this happens. Its little legs kick one final time, and it just goes flat on the ground.
And now we're gonna attack the other one.
Okay.
Booyah. 17.
Yes.
Yes, honey!
Yes, 4. Girl, yes!
Let's see, that's 8, 9 damage total.
Alright, you also... destroy this one and just a deft swing, Kara, and they are just dead to be no more, and the room goes silent.
There are many things in this place that are just quite awful.
Farrah just kind of looks at her and she's like, kind of looked like you went somewhere there for a while. You okay? You need a hug?
As you kind of open yourself up to, like, for a hug, Kara, leans in. Thank you. I was just reminded of something terrifying in my past. I certainly hope we do not encounter spiders while we are down here.
Oh, well, I'll squish them for you. And she rubs Carl's back. For like a 3 seconds too long, this hug lasts. She's like,
oh yeah,
this was clearly an awful place. I hate it, and we should keep moving. And also, that was more than 25 words. And she points at the stone. Oh. Yeah.
So you can determine that the nature of the stone isn't exactly a sending stone, but if you would like to take it, it is a recording stone.
Oh, sure. Why not?
There's a scrying spell on it. And then we all die, because the monsters find us.
So we're both down one sanity. How you guys feeling?
Not great.
What does 4 out of 5 sanity feel like?
Feel a little shook. Definitely, like, Kara takes it as now feeling super on edge and having like very heightened awareness. So it's like she's kind of like reacting like, all right, well, this thing got me, but nothing else is gonna get me. Just like
dark corners.
Super suspicious about everything.
Yeah, for sure. Fair is that person who nothing has ever gone wrong for her ever. So she's like, wow, so this is what that's like. Well, you know, I learned, I got my one and done. Let's have a good time through the rest of this shit.
Wonderful. Yep. And so that is, that's basically what's in this room.
Kara asks Farrah, what kind of tomes are these? Like, what, you know, this seemed like a place where people studied, maybe? I don't know. What do you think?
So looking around the room, you can tell that a lot of these are, like, medical textbooks. Books on, like, biology, books on consciousness, things. I mean, psychology isn't a thing that exists, really, in a medieval setting. But this is, everything in here is as close to that as you would get.
Yeah, so
lots of brain-specific...
I love a theme. Yep.
Do you guys get the theme yet? Should I do more brains?
I'm sensing brains.
Yeah. I wonder if the next room will have brains. So she...
It'll have zombies, because zombies eat brains.
To eat the brains.
Yeah, she kind of relays to her, oh, okay, so it's, like, the study of the mind, basically, and experimentation and stuff like that. And she's feeling glad that she didn't stick around for her appointment. Like a dumbass.
Yes. Definitely. I would like to go over and, yeah, just kind of, like, fiddle around with the chair and, like, look at it. And, like, you said there are straps for the, like, the wrist. Is it, like, a straight up and down chair?
So it's sort of like a barber chair where it's got foot pedestals at the bottom. So somebody could recline very far back in this chair. Mm-hmm. So, and you could strap somebody in at the wrists and at the neck bar area too. You also see there's a lap bar in the chair. So just in case somebody needed to be restrained, they absolutely could be in this chair.
Just like not even thinking, Kara says aloud, if this weren't such a dark and terrible place, this chair would be so much fun.
Oh my god, Fair just like the corner of her mouth like turns up and she's like,
I'm gonna tell Nassim that you guys weren't worried about something.
She's like,
oh, I'm worried.
I wish that it were appropriate for me to like where your mind goes right now.
Hey, Kara, to which Kara openly laughs at it. It's like, wait, were there any other doors out of here aside from the one we came in?
Not in this room, no. So okay. The only unopened door is the one if you walked outside. Into the other one.
Okay, yeah. So I start making my way over towards the other one.
Mage hand.
All right. Yeah, and as you mage hand open this door, you see that there is a hallway in front of you. It has been painted bright white. And it is a very, very thin hallway. So you can really only walk by maybe two people at a time. And you see lining the walls of this room, there are four very thick white coats that have lots of, like, silver buckles on them. And you see that there is a door on the other side of this hallway.
I'm guessing that the buckles are meant for the back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super paranoid right now. So, just in case, I'm gonna take my mage hand and just pick up one of the coats and throw it against the wall just in case they're, like, animate or something.
I can tell you right now the coat's definitely way more than
$5. No.
All those buckles. yeah, seeing that it's like you're trying to get your mage hand to, like, finagle it, and Kara just, like, takes her sword and just wipes them off the wall.
And as you do so, you swear that the coat moves.
No, I know.
But you look again, you're like, no, it didn't.
I'm going to firebolt one. Light it up.
Okay.
All right. That's a 26 to hit.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely hit a coat.
Great. It's 13 points of damage.
All right, this coat flutters. It definitely begins to struggle as this happening, and you see the two sleeves of the coat lean forward, and it starts to pull itself towards you on the ground here. So let's go ahead and roll some for some initiative. But nice, they would have been so cool if they got you.
I am a naturally anxious and paranoid person. That's a 10 for me.
That will be a 22 for me.
Damn. Okay, so Carl, you get a move here. You see this coat all of a sudden has come to life and is starting to crawl towards you.
Immediately, oh my god. I don't even have time to get angry about it. I just immediately swing at it with my sword.
For sure.
Ooh, and that'll be a 22. It's 11. That'll be 11 damage. And then second attack is a 16.
Okay. Yes.
And that'll be, ooh, better. That'll be 15 damage.
Hell yeah. All right. So this coat just gets completely cut to ribbons as this happens. But you do see that two others on the wall are fluttering as well.
Nice. All right. Yeah. And I make sure to stay very, very close to Farrah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as this happens here, one of these coats is just suddenly going to fly off of this peg here, and it is going to go ahead and, let's see. All right, try and attack Carl. So this thing just, like, opens up and seems to jump of its own accord, and you see the arms are flying in to try and wrap around your chest as this straitjacket is trying to attack you. Oh, wow! Okay. 24. Good boy.
Do it.
Okay, so let's see. So we're going to, first of all right. So as it comes swinging on you and you feel your arms definitely get crossed and you are effectively grappled by this thing now, you also get hit with these pelts of these really heavy, you think maybe there's like lead inlays or something also in this coat that just like drags you down immediately as you get like attacked by these buckles too that come swinging around. So you're going to take 9 bludgeoning damage from the buckles and you are grappled. Oh, until this grapple ends, the target is restrained. It won't blind you, but basically, yeah, this thing is, like, squeezing you so tight, it's hard to get any air into your lungs as this is happening. Okay, and then the other coat is going to try and do the same to our darling Farrah.
Thanks.
Okay, is a 17 going to hit you?
It would hit, but I'm going to cast shield.
Okay, nice. Great. So, again, this coat comes swinging towards you, and you just bounce it off of your shield. All right, and then Farrah, it's to you.
I'm going to, as I kind of like duck and bow or whatever, I hit my staff on the ground and I will cast my spirit guardians which once again, it's just two super buff, half naked Deva men, just straight flexing. and they're
I feel a little bit intimidated by this.
That's my grandpa. So they're gonna do their thing, and they're gonna have to make a DC 17 saving throw for wisdom.
Okay, wisdom. How wise are animated straitjackets?
I'm hoping not very.
No, they have a minus four.
Oh, great.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry, what was the DC?
17.
No, absolutely not.
10 points.
Okay. Ooh. All right, so both of these coats look like they're getting toinked up pretty good by these buff men who are just flying about. Anything else for your turn?
No, that's it for me.
All right, and then Kara, we're up to you. You are restrained.
Oh, now I'm real angry. A coat just fucking bitch slapped me in the face? I don't think so. Rage!
Yeah.
And now I'm going to make an anti-grapple check.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Fuck yes. That is a 26.
Okay, what does it look like when you get out of this coat?
Oh, man, just straight out, just, like, flexes and just, whoa, and just hulks out for a second. Oh, and then whoosh, go to swipe at it.
Yes.
Ooh, yes, 23.
Okay.
And that will be delicious. That's going to be 17 damage. Is it dead?
Yeah, yeah, you killed it. Dead. How do you want it to kill it?
Oh, man, yeah, it just Hulk flex out as it's just been just ripped apart by my bulging, wonderful bicep muscles, and then immediately just what's left of it just slashes cleanly through it. And then I'm gonna attack another one.
Yep, yep, there's one left now.
That's a 27. And that's going to be another 11 damage.
Yes. How do you want to kill that one, too?
Oh, boy. Just immediately sees it and then just, like, swings up from the bottom and...
Yeah, just... And buckles and cloth go fluttering. So now this hallway is just coated in these ribbons of cloth and buckles. And there's a door on the other side.
Good job. I'm gonna fist bump.
Oh, thank you.
I was talking to them and I fist bumped my Dave. Oh. She's like,
my boys, excuse me.
Of course.
You can get in on this too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, shall we proceed? I don't trust anything ever again. Nothing. Nothing ever.
Yes. Quiet.
I'm going to let you go first. Let me know when we get to a door. I'll open it.
Yeah, so I keep striding forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is that door immediately on the other side. This hallway was only like 10 feet long.
Great. Let's open it with the hand.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, as you open it up, you see that there is a small, completely white room in front of you. You do see that on the ceiling, there is another of these blue glowing stones that seems to be made of the same material as before, except it's set like a disc into the ceiling.
Do you suppose this one was for spying?
Possibly? I'm gonna just be like, do the recording! Shout up to it.
You're gonna walk up to it and say, do the recording.
You said it's in the ceiling, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, just shout up at it.
Yeah, so you kind of move a little bit into the room and like shout up at the ceiling. You hear the sound of a door locking from behind you. As that one far down the hall seals. And then the blue stone begins to come to light on the ceiling here. And it says, you have been brought here to conquer your fears. Remember that nothing you see here is real. And Farah, you begin to feel legs on the back of your neck. Just these insectoid crawling insect legs just begin to coat your shoulders and make its way up their neck. And Kara, the room begins to fill with water. Just gushing water, seemingly coming from the corners of this room, and it just gets more and more intense as this begins to happen and begins to fill the room. And now, Farrah, you begin to see just these bugs starting to crawl all up and down, covering your skin. And the blue disc from the top says, "Nothing here can actually harm you." And the room keeps filling with water, so much so now that, Kara, you're getting to chin level here. And then Farrah, again, they just won't stop coming. No matter how much you scrape them off, there's just more. Go ahead and make me sanity rolls.
Sure.
18.
Okay, you managed to keep your sanity.
In real life or in the game? Because I'm...
8.
8? Okay. What's happening, Kara?
So, yeah. Kara just, like, panics. And just, like, you hear that, like, after, like in movies where they have that after a loud explosion, how you have that kind of, like, ringing sound that plays. Just like, that's just, like, all that she hears. She doesn't hear anything else. Like, doesn't even register that Farrah is near her whatsoever. And is just gasping and, like, trying not to drown.
Mm-hmm. And, again, you hear, "Master your mind. Allow your fears to pass. Embrace your fears." And the water now is above your head, and there's nothing you can do. You're gasping, and you begin to feel that burning of drowning as this is happening to you. And Farrah, the bugs have started to eat away at your skin now. There's nothing you can... You just feel pain, like lightning pain, all over your body. How are you staying sane, Farrah?
I think that, you know, she's just trying to just be very logical about this. There were no bugs here. I know that I'm not, you know, the boogeyman. I don't have bugs living inside of me. This isn't real. This isn't real. This is, like, a place for crazy people. And I happen to be here. It's fine.
And with that, embrace your fears. And it all stops. And the room is empty. And Kara, you're choking, like, on lungs, like, water that was never really there.
Yeah.
And Farrah, your skin is fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah, Kara goes to fucking puke in a corner.
No. Farrah runs over and is just like, "It's okay. It's okay. It's not real. I came in here with confidence. Maybe we don't have to play all the blue things." Maybe that was a bad idea.
You do also see that for the first time now, there is a door. Clearly a door on the other side of this room that you just didn't see.
And, like, there's a door!
yeah, Carl wipes her mouth and stands up, kind of, like, wobbles for a bit, and then just, like, starts just beelining for the door.
To self, don't press all buttons. Just go.
Don't do it. All right. And you pass your way through this door and you find that you are walking down another set of steps. Basement level 2. Or this would be basement level 3. All right.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And as you begin to descend down these dark steps, again, that scent of just mildew and seawater is just really clear down here. So it is cold. Like, every level you've gone down, it's dropped maybe like 5 degrees. So you're beginning to, like, it's damp and clammy. And as you make your way down these stairs, you come to another set. It's like a small reception room of some kind. You see that there are a couple chairs, a couple tables that have been pushed against the stone walls. And there's this really big set of double doors on the far side of the room.
Before we go any further, do you want, like, some low-key heals before we go anywhere? Like,
yeah, some heals would be sweet. And then also, yeah, now that we're down here with these double doors, down in this room, I'm interested to make, like, a stone cunning check to see if I can suss out, like, how old is this place? Like,
yeah.
Oh, not bad. 14.
Okay. The stone down here is much, much older than the stone up top. So the deeper you go, the older this thing is. So this place was built deep in the earth, and then people began to build on top of it. So this part of the stone is, I mean, it's hundreds of years old.
Okay, cool.
We're talking like 400-ish. And as you step into this room, and you know, you kind of catch your breath and your bearings, and you're looking around, the temperature drops suddenly again. And the chairs at the edge of the room just start to wiggle just a bit, like scrape across the floor suddenly.
Firebolt!
Don't tell me those chairs are animated too. Immediately take out my sword and just like whoosh, and slash at the chairs.
Yeah. Kindling!
Fuck this!
You wreck those chairs.
I feel better about it. It made me feel a little bit better.
So it's just the chairs in the room and the...
There's like two little tables and four chairs were in the room.
Oh, this is after we went in through the double doors?
No, you haven't opened the double doors yet.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, all right. Let's look at there. Is there anything on the tables?
Okay. Some dust.
I write, Kara was here on the table in the dust.
The smashing and then, table.
And then go over to the doors.
Yeah, and as you like reach out a hand towards the door, you feel a presence behind you, and you hear, wait! And you turn around, and you see your old familiar person, ghost person from upstairs. She's standing there in her prim and proper attire, clutching her book. I'm sorry, Dr. Scarborough is very busy. You can't go in without an appointment.
Oh, but we already established that our friend here, as I motioned to Farrah, does indeed have an appointment.
Yes, I still agree that I have an appointment.
I'm sorry, I was not able to find your name in the book. I think you may be deceiving me. Is that true?
I have never deceived anyone in my adult life.
Go ahead and make a bluff.
Bluff.
Deception. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I got 23.
Nice.
Okay, so you're saying you've never lied in your life.
Yeah, not in my adult life.
In her adult life.
As a child, you know, I was such a little punk, but, you know.
Yep, so you, yeah, and she pauses, and she looks at you, and her chin kind of, you know, drops to one side. She opens up the book again, and is just scanning through it.
He doesn't like... when people interrupt his work.
We'll be so quiet.
Go ahead and make a persuasion check. She's really waffling.
I'm even better
there.
At these. That's a natural 20, so that's a 29.
Yes!
Okay. Wow, alright. Yeah, and so she looks at the book and looks up at you and kind of nods solemnly, and she says,
be careful. He gets very, very angry when you disturb him.
And as she stares at you, you begin to see her head change. Like, you just see this seam, like, jagged kind of sawing back and forth, like, around the top of her head. And you just suddenly, it's gone. Like, just the top, as if it's been surgically, like, removed. And she lifts up a hand and kind of tries to touch, like, where her skull would be.
Very angry.
Honey, you need a vacation.
Talk about losing your head. I blurt out.
She just stares at both of you.
Well, shall we?
Absolutely. We'll be so quiet. Thank you so much for your help. I'm going to write a great review. 5 stars on you.
Yeah, and again, she's just reaching up to try and just touch the piece of her that is no longer there.
All right, we're going, right? You go first, let's go.
Yep, I don't fling open the door, I open the door quietly.
Yep, all right, and as you open this door,
The first thing that hits you is the smell.
Oh boy.
It is.
We're real big on smells.
It is rancid and just decayed, and not just like the normal rot of being far down in an ocean space. This smells like flesh that has just been sitting there forever. And this room, it opens up here. It's a large circular room that's flat on the bottom, and then you can see that there is like stadium seating around the center of this room, so people could look up and look down. So it's like a medical theater, if you guys have ever seen. And in and in the center of this room here, there is a table, a flat metal table, and atop of it, there is a figure that is strapped down, and then standing over him is a humanoid in this white lab coat that looks oddly pristine in the midst of like all of this just nastiness. And he is holding a saw and just sawing like vigorously at the arm of this thing that is lying down on the table here.
Oh my God.
And as you step into the room, this figure like looks up and you see it's got like big goggles strapped to its face, and you can see like these wisps of grayish hair. And he turns and looks at all of you. Damn it, Agnes! Can't keep anybody out of here while I'm working!
Oh my God.
And he looks at all of you, and you begin to hear, like, scuttling sounds. And as you look up towards the top of this theater, you see that there are these undead creatures that begin to, like, crawl out of the bleacher seats. And you see that there are a bunch of these things that are now just looking down at you. And that's where we're going to stop for today.
Oh, yay! My God. No!
I refuse. We must play more D&D.
Yes.
Celeste,
well,
that was so good. I'm so fucking creeped out.
That was too soon.
Yes. I am loving this. I am loving all of this. Thank you all so much for dealing with me in my spook dungeon. I'm having a blast. But anyway, and thank you all for the subscribes and the follows and the bits and the cheers. You all are fucking incredible, and we love you all.
We love you!
You're so great. And next time, Nassim will be back joining us, and we'll see what happened to Saye. But anyway, for now, I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
And I've been your barely sane barbarian, Kara.
And I've been your laugh till it's over, tiefling sorcerer, Vera.
Laugh to keep from crying. All right, well, thank you everybody so much for tuning in, and until next time,
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening, but before you go, we have one last sponsor, Elderwood Academy. Elderwood Academy are artisans who craft amazing gaming products, including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, and now even dice. These products are especially impressive to whip out at the game table because they are crafted to look like spellbooks, scroll cases, codexes, and other sweet fantasy gear. I personally have a beautiful lacewood hex chest by them. It's the perfect home for my favorite dice because of the incredibly strong magnets that hold this case closed. I can be sure that my dice are never going to get lost and that they can travel in style to any game or event that I take them to. You can find this hex chest and many more at elderwoodacademy.com/don't split and make it your own with all their sweet customization options. And don't forget, they make great gifts for all occasions. It's my personal go-to when I've got a hard-to-shop-for person.